Turn with me to Matthew 20, 20 to 28. I want to talk about the call to be servants. The call to be servants. Then the mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus with her sons. She knelt respectfully to ask a favor. "What is your request?" he asked. She replied, "In your kingdom, please let my two sons sit in places of honor next to you, one on your right and the other on your left." But Jesus answered by saying, "You don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering I'm about to drink?" "Oh, yes," they replied, "we're able." And Jesus told them, "You will indeed drink from my bitter cup, but I have no right to say who will sit on my right or my left. My Father has prepared those places for the ones he has chosen." When the 10 other disciples heard what James and John had asked, they were indignant. They were upset. They were offended. But Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader, whoever wants to be great among you, must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many." Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that, God, you're already speaking to us here today. And I just pray that, Lord, would you just continue to speak today? And, Lord, through this word, that you'd make something alive to each one of us, that we might know that this is what you're saying. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning I want to talk to you about that call to be servants. Doesn't sound like a really interesting thing, but yet the Bible calls us all to be servants. The call by God that speaks to us about being devoted to the work of the kingdom, doing our duty, helping with the work of God. And as Christians, we need to remember we are called to serve. We're all called to be servants of God. We're all called to do a job. We're all called to be involved in the work of the kingdom. We are called to be devoted and following the Lord, offering ourselves to help in every opportunity. And we all have a role. We all have a job to do in the kingdom of God. And when it comes to serving, not everybody wants to serve today. Not everybody enjoys serving today. It's telling us in the books that you read today, they're saying there's a problem in the church today. And they're worried about the future of the church because they're saying a lot of the people today in our churches do not want to serve. They'd rather sit back and let someone else serve them when there's a great need that we all become servants. For Judy and I, we've always loved to serve. We grew up serving. That's really all that we really know is that you serve the Lord. You do anything and everything to serve God. And we've always been volunteers like that in our churches, up at camp this week. I'm basically in charge of the services, but we're involved in the tuck shop, involved in taking kids out in the tube, and sometimes you end up counseling or talking with people and helping people out. Lots of things to do. And we don't mind doing that because it's service. It's service. We're happiest when we're serving. And you might find yourself to realize the same thing, that you will be happiest when you're serving. And if you've taken a break, and sometimes we all need breaks, and sometimes we need some time off, that's important. Those things are all good. But I can guarantee you something, that if you take too long of a break, you won't be happy, because you will find that you're happiest when you serve. That's something that both Judy and I have realized throughout our lives, and we really do enjoy to serve the Lord. And this week at camp, again, lots of opportunities, great atmosphere there. And it is a joy to serve the Lord, even though you get tired and you start getting worn down and you're just going, "Oh, man, the mornings. Oh." But once you get serving again, it's a joy. It is joy. It really is. And in serving God, we need to keep that focus of why are you serving him? Why are you doing it? Are you doing it for somebody else? Are you doing it because the pastor asked you, or if the pastor put you on a guilt trip? Or are you doing it because, no, I just love Jesus. I just love to serve. And that really needs to be our focus when we look at serving a God, that we do it because we love him. don't really care what we're doing. We just want to do it because we know it's honoring to Him, it's pleasing to Him, and we're happiest when we serve. So that's very important that we get that. Now, sometimes as we serve, you know, we do get tired. Sometimes, you know, we are unappreciated. Sometimes we feel ignored. Sometimes, you know, maybe a little bit of recognition. And, you know, we've all been there in our church. If you've been in church life at any time at all, you kind of know all those things. Sometimes serving seems to be like a lifelong commitment. If you volunteer for something, like you're stuck there the rest of your life. And we really don't want that to happen. But again, if you're serving, whatever way it is, you're going to find out something. You're happiest when you're serving. It really is. Now, sometimes we might desire to be like the world. And Jesus gets talking about that. We're wanting more recognition. You know, we want to be the leader. We want to be in charge. And, you know, we want to leave that service stuff back there. And we want to be up here. And it's interesting that the disciples, no different than anybody else, and here are the disciples thinking the very same things. That, you know, I'm kind of getting tired of this service stuff. You know, I think we need to be elevated up there to the top part, and maybe even be right beside Jesus. Like, we're good disciples. Like, we're doing a good job, and I know that Jesus loves us, and we love Him, and so I think maybe we need to be just side by side. And it's interesting, I kind of laugh as I read this portion of Scripture. Who did they get to go and ask that question to? Their mommy. And I kind of laugh at that as I think, you know what, that does happen. You know, that kind of happens sometimes when we're maybe the one that wants the elevation, but, you know, we don't be looking that prideful that we really want it. So we send our mommies, or we send somebody else to say on our behalf, oh, maybe you should consider this person to be right beside you or to do that. It's just so funny that how often that can happen, literally. And, you know, you see that as little kids sometimes, you know, as moms, we go up and say, hey, my kid is, and we really promote our kid. And the kid really wanted that, and they told us they wanted it. And so we kind of take on the challenge as parents to go and do it for them. Well, that's what happened here. It really did. And Jesus kind of called them on it and says, like, you don't know what you're asking. Like, that commitment is huge. Oh, and then they finally speak, oh, we're ready, Lord. We're ready to do that. And so Jesus kind of speaks further to them today and says, you don't know what you're asking. You know, sometimes serving is way better than being a boss. Really is. There's a lot of responsibilities in being a boss or a leader. It's interesting that as Jesus speaks to them, that they think that they're up to the challenge. And the reality was, they actually were. They actually were. All those disciples, they served God. Most of them were martyred for their faith. So they served God right to the very end. So they were up to the task. But Jesus kind of told them that, you know what, if you really want to be great, if you want to be a leader, if you want to be that important individual, you start off by serving. Serve. That's not the answer we're looking for. If you look in our world today and our jobs today, and you're wanting a promotion, you're wanting a raise, and your boss tells you, you know, the greatest way for you to become great in this company is just simply to start being a servant in this company. How many of us would be impressed with that? Probably not. And yet Jesus says, that's how it works in God's kingdom. It's about serving. That's where you go. You serve. It's almost like the opposite of what you do. And it's telling us in statistics that about, usually in every church, about 20% of the people do the work for the whole church. Now, I think that's quite a bit higher here in this church, but that's kind of like a national average that's out there. And it's kind of saying some things about us that we don't like to serve. See, if you don't like to serve, you're missing something. You really are. I find a lot of people, when they stop serving, I often watch people slowly, gradually fall away from God. They just stop serving God. So it's not just service in the kingdom. Your service in the kingdom affects your service to God. And so often I've watched that where people kind of, you know, I need a break, and we all need breaks at times, and it's good to have a break. But don't take that break too long. Get back involved. Do something. Find another area, but get yourself involved, because you're happiest when you serve. The other important thing is, too, and there were some powerful messages this week about serving God and doing it to the end. Don't give up. Don't give up. And see, sadly, sometimes that's what we do when it comes to serving God. We and are being service in the kingdom of God. We kind of give up and get tired and all those kinds of things, and we give up. Pastor Bob Jones, he was sharing about the journey of his church from Central to North Point. And I can remember, because I was out here in Alberta at that time when they were making that transition. And it wasn't a very good transition. Everything seemed to be the opposite of what they felt or wanted to see happen to get to that new church. Their attendance went down. People were leaving the church. People were upset. And it didn't look good at all. But because he persevered, there was a harvest. And today, North Point is 3 times larger than what Old Central used to be. But he persevered. And see, Galatians 6 tells us that let's not get tired of doing what is good, because at just the right time, we're going to reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. And that's where we need to be. We need to refuse to give up, knowing that we're doing what God called us to do. Having a right attitude, serving the kingdom, it really is exhilarating. It really is joyous, and it really is fulfilling in our lives. I remember in our church back in New Brunswick, there was a gentleman that he played guitar in the service. He was a very good guitarist. Like, he's all over. He could pick anything. He used to make his own guitars as well. Excellent craftsman. And he kind of got offended with a few people in the church, and so he said, "I ain't going to play no more." So he'd sit in that front seat, and he'd just kind of sit there through the service. And he did that for about a few months. And then he came to me one day, and he said, "Man, I don't know what it is. Like, I'm not happy. I just don't seem to be getting anywhere with God. I'm not sensing his presence." And I said, "Well, I can tell you why. It's real easy." I said, "You stop serving. You stop playing." I said, "You worship not with your hands lifting up and other expressions. Your worship is through that guitar. That's how you worship, is playing your guitar." Well, the next week, he was back playing that guitar. Next week, he was back. He was happy. Next week, there was a joy inside of him because he was doing what God had called him to do. And you're happiest when you serve. I hope you get that. So that's where we need to be. Keep our eyes focused on Jesus. Keep our eyes working hard, knowing that a harvest is going to come. There will be a harvest. And I sense that, you know, there's a harvest that's coming across our nation. I really believe it's across the nation. But I believe it's going to be here first. I do. And that God's going to do something very, very good in this place. But if you want to be great, then you need to start by serving. Serving. You know, it's kind of a rite of passage in the Christian faith that you got to serve. You can't bypass that one. You just can't go to the top. You got to learn how to serve, because you can never be a good leader if you never knew what it was to serve. And some people, "I don't want to start at the bottom." I don't consider anything bottom. I still do. I'll do whatever. If I got to sweep floors or clean toilets or whatever, I don't really care. If it's for God, it's okay. It's okay. I love to serve him. So as Christians, you can't bypass this rite of passage. We all must serve the Lord. And our focus needs to be on serving, not on being served. You know, a lot of times, you know, as Christians, sometimes we're just like, "Feed me, feed me, feed me." We should be feeding ourselves. And this needs to be a place where we're encouraged and we're strengthened and we get excited about the things of God. That's the kind of servanthood that Christ is looking for. As he tells us, you need to be a servant. You got to go through that rite of passage. You got to serve first. If you want to be great, if you want to be a leader, you want to be a somebody in the kingdom of God, then you're going to have to learn how to serve. Because that's what Jesus did. He came to serve. And so this morning, I just want to share with you a little bit about these truths about serving. And the first point is, in servanthood, we need to understand that we're all called. There are no exceptions. You're all called. So don't think, oh, that's a good message for so-and-so. No, no, it's a message to all of us. We're to serve. We're to serve. We're all called to serve in one way or another. Now, as Christians, you know, we are to be different than our world. We are to be different than our culture. And our culture needs to be a kingdom culture, not the world culture. And too often in our churches, we're more focused on the world culture than we're focused on the kingdom culture. And they're totally different. Again, listen to what it says, Matthew 20, 26, 27. But among you, it will be different. It's not like the world. Whoever wants to be a leader among you, whoever wants to be great among you, must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must be your slave. And servanthood, that is a struggle with our minds because we don't like being told what to do, honestly. Does anyone like being told what to do, even in our marriages, right? You say something, you usually can get in trouble pretty quick if you tell your spouse what to do. We don't like that. Don't like to hear that. And sometimes that carries over in the spiritual realm where I don't like being told what to do. And we kind of, you know, get our defenses up when God may speak to us and say, I want you to do this. Or if we're under somebody and serving and they ask us to do something, I ain't doing to do that. God said, you want to become great? You want to become a leader? Then you got to go to that place of serving, of serving. And that's so very, very important. Because we'll never get to that place of leadership if we don't learn how to serve. It's a rite of passage to greatness. It's what Joseph learned. Joseph had a dream that one day he is going to be lord over his whole family. God gave him a vision. And usually with our visions, we expect that to be tomorrow, next day. But it wasn't. What did he have to learn? He had to learn from the bottom up. Became a servant and was sold as a slave. Went to Egypt, not as a ruler. He went to Egypt as a slave. He begins to serve Potiphar, powerful man in Egypt. Things were looking good and then it went backwards again. And sometimes that happens in our lives too. It's like we're going this way and then all of a sudden, bang, God sends us back to school, God's school. God's school is way different than our school. God's school is way different than how we think school should be done. And sometimes we question God and we wonder about God, like, why is this happening, God? Like, you gave me this dream. You gave me this vision. This is not the vision, God. I'm in prison now. And that's what the way it was for Joseph. They're in prison. He's helping people out. What happened? They forget about him until the appointed time. And at that appointed time, Joseph rose up in one day from being a prisoner to being second command in all of Egypt. That's God's schooling. That's what God can do in an instant, in a moment. We look at that with David as well, King David. And you know, here's David being anointed as king. It's done. But he's still tending sheep. Kind of the lowliest of jobs to do. Tend sheep. That was his job. He had to learn how to tend sheep. Then he had to learn, well, you're going to become a king. Well, you're going to have to learn how to be a person that knows how to fight and do battle. So God's idea of that is to send a bear and send a lion his way, where he has to defend the sheep, and he actually does it. He does kill the lion. He does kill the bear, which is pretty amazing because he probably only had that staff. But those staffs, you were pointed on one end and can be a powerful weapon. That was God's school. Totally different than what everyone else would think. I mean, this is how you need to be schooled to become a king. And from there, then he has to serve King Saul. The very person that is rejected, God has rejected this person. God has written them off, and yet here he is. He has to serve that guy. But he's learning. Now he's in the court of the king, and he's learning God's school. Totally different than our idea of school. And then we just keep watching that journey of David, where he's learning, and going through all these trials. And instead of becoming king, he's actually hunted. He's put it on the most wanted list in Israel. They're trying to kill him. Hey, don't you guys know that I'm anointed king? God's school, totally different. So anyway, finally he does become king. He humbled himself. He went through all those kinds of things and circumstances. And at the right time, he became king. But we can also think of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Bible tells us he is the Lord Almighty. He's the King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. How did he come? Did he come in a palace? No, he came in a stable. He humbled himself. The King of all kings, God of gods, he humbles himself and is born in a stable, which is nothing more than a cave. You can see that today in Bethlehem when you go there. Nothing more than a cave. Damp, dirty, dark. That's where he started. And he tells us, I didn't come for people to serve me. I came that I might serve and that I might give my life as a ransom for many. So even Jesus himself is telling us that to be a servant, even he did that. He came at the bottom. Before he ever became King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he came at the bottom, being born in the stable, humbled himself. And really, that's taught throughout Scripture, that we're called to humble ourselves and serve. And at the right time, God will lift us up. We usually always tell God, a little bit faster would be a little bit appreciated. Or why isn't this happening faster? I don't know why. It bothers me at times too. Yet, God says at the right time, it will happen. 1 Peter 5:5-6 says, in the same way, you who are younger must accept the authority of the elders. And all of you, dress yourselves in humility as you relate to one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, he will lift you up in honor. God has not forgotten about you. God has not forgotten about the service that you have done throughout the years. God has not forgotten. Maybe you haven't experienced an elevation that maybe you thought you deserved, or maybe you didn't experience something where God showed you will experience. There's a time for it. There's a time. And at the right time, God can do it in an instant. If he did it to Joseph, imagine, from prison to second in authority. Like, that's crazy. And one day, that's amazing. So as Christians, we are called to be servants. We're called to serve. And it begins by us coming to that place where we all recognize for us to become great, for us to be great leaders, or for us to prosper in the kingdom, you start by humbling yourself and say, I will serve. I will serve. Then secondly, in regards to being a servant, we're called to serve with our very lives. We're to give our very lives, if necessary, to be involved with serving God. I think of many missionaries that went to the mission field. And the mission field is not as bad as what it used to be. A lot better today than what it used to be. But still, there are some countries that you go as a missionary, you're taking your life in your own hands, and you possibly might be killed. But you can think of many missionaries that went and they were killed. Think of many missionaries that went and there was no harvest. But 10, 20, 30 years later, a great harvest came. There's a time. There's a time for it. But we're to serve with our lives. If we need to be willing to give our lives for Christ. You know, we really love our lives today. You know, we really look after ourselves. And God says, if you're going to serve, you need to be willing to give your very life. And you know what? It might cost you your very life. Matthew 20:28 says, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus had to go to the cross. Jesus had to literally give his life for you and I. That's called serving. So being a servant is a major part of Christianity that requires our very lives, our all. That's something that's very important. And when we look at our lives today, you know, life is busier now than it ever has been. Like there's just so much activity going on. It's just difficult at times just to try to quiet your mind because there's just so much happening in our lives today. But that's where we got to get to that place and recognize, you know what, I need to make time to serve. And if I have to give up my life and give up some of these joys of life that I can serve God, then we need to do that. Jesus makes it very clear that Christianity may require some major life choices. And let me tell you, friends, they're serious life choices. Listen to what he says in Luke chapter 14, 26. It says, if you want to be my disciple, you must, by comparison, hate everyone else. Your father and your mother, your wife and your children, your brothers and your sisters, yes, even your own life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. And if you do not carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. So you cannot become my disciples without giving up everything you own. Do you realize sometimes God may require everything? Everything. I was talking to this gentleman named Kelly. He owns a promotion studio in Edmonton. And he's on one of the worship teams there. And he was sharing a little bit about a story of his life and how that in business he was doing very well. In this promotions area. And God kind of said to him, I want you to give your business away. What? Are you crazy? But he was obedient. And he gave his business away. And he said, all we had left was a little home and he said, a little Chevy Sprint. 3-cylinder Chevy Sprint. He was obedient. He said, a lot of other Christians kind of got onto it like, what are you doing? You're crazy. But he said, God's told me to do that, and we want to be faithful to God and serve God. And if that required us to give everything we own, then we were willing to do so. A few years later, he's back in business again. And now God has blessed them greatly. He has a huge business. He has a nice Mercedes, you know, 5-liter turbocharged, lots of power. He said, God has blessed me with far more than whatever I had or whatever I left behind. But sometimes God requires that. As I went into ministry, one of my desires was I always wanted to be close to home. I always wanted to be there that I could help my mom and dad because I served my mom and dad as I grew up in the home that I did everything for them. And I really did. And you can ask my brothers and sisters. They'll tell you that's the truth. I did everything for them. And so that was kind of always on my heart. I just want to keep serving my parents, and I want to be close to them, and so I can do that. First church, 5.5 hours away. It's starting to get a little hard. Next church, 7.5 hours away. Now I'm a good solid 4 days away from there. Sometimes God requires you give up, yeah, mom, father, brothers, sisters. Sometimes even your very life. Or everything that you own to follow him. It's not easy, but it is rewarding. Every time, it's always rewarding. You're happiest when you're serving, when you know that you're doing what God has called you to do. And so we need to be at that place and serving God that we're willing to give our very lives for him, if that's what it takes. Bible says in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. There's a seeking first. God needs to be first. The kingdom of God needs to be our priority so much that we'd be willing to give our very lives. And friends, that's what Jesus did for us. So why wouldn't we think that that's our rite of passage as well, to give our very lives to serving God and doing the purposes of God. Then thirdly, we're called to serve faithfully as servants. Servants who prove their worth and show they can be trusted. God calls us to be thorough in our performance and in our duty. He's calling us to do our very best, to be true and loyal and trustworthy. We're not to take our service for God lightly. In fact, we should be the best workers our world has ever seen. But that's not the reality, too. You hear that all the time of guys complaining about, you know what, these Christians, I ain't going to hire anymore because you know what? Because I'm a Christian businessman, they think I should give them some breaks. And they're not really working as hard as my other employers. Man, that is not a good testimony. We need to be hearing, as people also on the other side say, man, these Christians are the greatest people I could ever hire. And man, are there any more from your church that you could recommend to me because I want to hire more people from your church? Bethel and Reading, that's one of their testimonies that people, businesses call them and they tell them, you know what, the people from your church work so hard. Is there any more that you could send our way because we're looking for people who actually want to work and do a good job at it? Well, that should be us. We should be working better than any other coworker. If we're a Christian, we should be doing far better than the coworker is. We should be willing to serve far greater because there's a greater reward for us. It's a greater reward of our faithfulness. So he says, be faithful in your service. Because God, that's what God's looking for. Are you faithful in your service? Whatever it is, whatever you're doing for God, have you been faithful to what God has called you to do? Listen to what Jesus says, Matthew 24, 45, 46. He says, a faithful, sensible servant is one to whom the master can give the responsibility of managing his other household servants and feeding them. If the master returns and finds that servant has done a good job, there will be a reward. Matthew 25 says, your master was full of praise. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I'll give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. As you start reading the last chapters of Matthew, it really focuses on Christians being ready for the return of Christ, but it also is focusing on a very important principle. Are we faithful? Have we been faithful as the servants of God? When all is said is done, when all of life is over, there's going to be a question that's going to be asked of you and me. Have you been faithful? Have you been faithful? And if we have been, the Lord will say, then well done, good and faithful servant. And then we enter into our rewards. And the Bible says there are many rewards in heaven. We sometimes forget about that Jesus says, store up your treasure in heaven. There's rewards there that you need to store up because that's where you're going to spend the majority of your life. It's not here on earth. It's in heaven. And you have all eternity. So you want to be building up your pension plan in heaven more than your pension plan here on earth. You really do. So strive to be faithful in your service to God. Serve with faithfulness. Serve being trustworthy. Serve being willing, proving yourself that you can be trusted with more. And when that right time comes, God will see that you are. So strive to serve well. We all want to hear those words. Well done, good and faithful servant. Then number four, we're called to serve with our all. All of our hearts. All of our being. It's not a commitment of 70%. It's not a commitment of 90%. Not even a commitment of 99%. It's your all. All. First commandment, Matthew 22, 37. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. And if you really love God, then you're going to serve him with your all. As part of what is expected as being a servant, you're to give our all for God. Ephesians 6, 6 to 7. Paul says, as slaves of Christ, do the will of God with all your heart. Work with enthusiasm, though you are working for the Lord rather than for people. God wants your all. Give it your all. If you're going to serve, don't serve half-heartedly. Serve with your all. Just make that decision that, you know what, I'm going to give it everything. Everything. Romans 1:9, Apostle Paul again, he says, God knows how often I pray for you, day and night, I bring you and your needs in prayer to God, whom I serve with all my heart by spreading the good news about his son. Whatever way we serve the Lord, it needs to be done with our all. Put everything in there, all of it. He wants your all. He doesn't want a half-hearted service. He doesn't want 75% or 90%. He wants it all. He wants her all. Always has, and he always will. And that's what he's looking for within us, that we would serve him, serve in the kingdom with our all. And then lastly, we're called to serve with love. Again, very important part of serving with love. Galatians 5, 13 to 14, serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. Serve the Lord with love. Be on our forefront. Love needs to be our focus and serving. Why do you serve God? Because I love to. I love to. I just enjoy doing it so much. It's a joy to serve the Lord. I like the definition of love that the Bible gives. It's far greater than any dictionary. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 7 says, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable. It keeps no record of being wrong. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Now apply that to serving. We should serve with patience, kindness. We should serve without being jealous, without being boastful, without being proud or rude. We should serve not demanding our own way or by allowing ourselves to become irritable. We should serve with justice and truth, never giving up and enduring through every circumstance. That's what it means to serve with love. That's a big responsibility. We're to be kind, caring, concerned, having a passionate affection for one another. You know, when you love one another, when you love people, it's really easy to serve. It really is. When you look around and say, you know, I love these people. Man, I love these kids. Man, it's real easy to serve because you love them. And that's what God's saying. You need to serve with love. So as we close here this morning, we're all called to serve. We're all called to be servants of God. We're all to do a job. We're called to be involved in kingdom work. And that calling requires all of us to serve. Need to be willing to give our lives. It requires faithfulness. It requires our all. It requires to do it in love. And it really is serious business. It's not optional. So many people think serving is optional. It's not optional. So many people don't realize the joy that they can have and the fulfillment that they can experience in their lives because they choose not to serve. Serving does bring fulfillment. Serving does bring purpose in our lives. Service does bring joy. And your greatest joy will be as you serve. It really is. And so this morning, I want to encourage you to take a fresh look at your serving. Make some room and time to be involved in serving the Lord. Our fall is coming up quickly. And you know what? There's going to be opportunities for you to serve. There are positions that we need people to step up into to help us build the kingdom of God. We've been meeting with Jana, and she's talking about our Bethel kids. We need some help there. Maybe you want to take a class. Maybe you want to team teach. And we realize a lot of people today, because of our shift work, we can't commit to something every week. But maybe you can commit to every second week or maybe every third week. When you're off, that you could do. Well, we're open to that. That, you know, if that's something that you can commit to, whatever way you can commit because of work, we're open to that. And if we got three people that could all commit, then maybe they could do some team teaching as well. Same with youth. Christopher will be looking for helpers and people that want to be involved there. And I know already there's some people have been coming and saying, you know, I really feel God's been speaking to me. You need to be obedient to that. Our children's church, a nursery, we need workers there. Maybe there's someone that just wants to take that over and say, you know what, I really feel God wants me to take care of that. I'll look after it. Just encourage you to pray about those kinds of things. ask God, you know, what you want to be. Maybe there's a new ministry that you see our church isn't doing. But you're thinking, you know what, I really think that's important. Well, if you think that's important, maybe it's time that you say, you know what, I'm going to come, Pastor, I'll do it. Here's the idea, and I'll do it. I'll take care of it. I'll look after it. Going to have cell groups starting up again, or home groups start up again. Maybe you're going to say, hey, I could do that. I could get some folks together and open up my home with that they could come and meet with us there, and we could have a time of devotion, time of prayer, time of fellowship. I could do that. So I want to encourage you over these next weeks, before we get into our fall and those programs get started again, maybe to ask the Lord, is there something I could do? Maybe God's laying something on your heart. And I think He is. I think God's laying some new areas, or maybe even some new ways that we can serve. And we could definitely use your help. We really could. Give us a call. Call me. Call Kenda, Cynthia, or talk with Christopher. Talk with other people and the, you know, that are looking after the various programs that we have. Because I'm going to tell you something. You'll be happiest when you serve. You'll be happiest when you serve. And as you serve, there is a harvest. There will be a harvest. I know it doesn't come as quick as we often think it should, but it will come if we are faithful to what God has called us to do. These are the instructions that Jesus left them. He said, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. It's not just a problem of today. It's always been there. Even Jesus is acknowledging, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who's in charge of the harvest. Ask Him to send more workers into His fields. Now go and remember, I'm sending you. So as you pray that, we often like to pray only a portion of that prayer. God, send us workers. Send somebody to help us. Send somebody, Lord, we want to see our church grow. And so, Lord, send some workers. Send some workers. And that's a good prayer to pray. We need to be praying that. I'm praying that. God, bring us people from various parts of the world that they would come here and be workers and want to be involved. But then it says, remember something. Jesus says, I'm sending you. I'm sending you. In other words, Jesus, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. You can't just say, oh, send others. No, you got to get to the place and say, Lord, send me. I'm here, God. I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do. I want to be your servant. My friends, I could have many people come up here and talk to you about serving God and how that they can testify it's been the happiest time of their life. I could get people to come up here too that have, you know, taken a break or we all need those at times. That's okay. But don't take too long. Get back in, because you will find that even during that break and then you get back into it again, you're saying, yeah, it's true. You're happiest when you serve.